Hey everyone, welcome to the Holtcast. Sorry we missed you last week, but big news since then, Villa are safe. Robert, how do you feel about it?
How else could I feel? Fantastic after the shit season we had.
Yeah, it's like I saw a tweet today or last night, I guess, before I went to bed from a Sunderland writer, and he's like waking up with that feeling of relief. And I've just been so relieved this whole week just knowing that Villa are safe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was one of those things that even with the loss, even if safety wasn't assured, everything still would have really had to be going against us, and I think we could have probably done it this weekend. But it's so nice not to have to care about this weekend's match.
Yeah, we missed you guys last week, but after that West Ham match, I think that's what really did it. And getting that win, I mean, it was just 1-0, but I don't know. I think it was a really good feeling, and kind of just caps off what the Sherwood era has kind of been about so far. Is I mean, he hasn't been, I guess he has been the savior, but he hasn't been the next coming, I guess.
Yeah, and it was an ugly one, though. I think, to my mind, it was the first really ugly win that Villa have gotten under Sherwood.
Yeah, I mean, even though the Spurs win was a 1-0 and we grinded it out, I think we really deserved that one. And I mean, not to say that we didn't deserve the win over West Ham, but it was by no means pretty.
Yeah,
No means
and
like what we saw against Liverpool in the cup, where,
ran rampant.
yeah.
And speaking of deserved, 6-1 at Southampton, the way Villa played that day, totally deserved to get our asses kicked.
I knew we were
Six-one.
in for a nuking like sometime.
It had to happen sometime, so maybe,
It was again.
I don't know if I buy that logic that better now than the FA Cup, but boy, I can't see them letting that happen again for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's good. Get out of the system. And if you are really worried, well, Arsenal got held by Southampton, or by, excuse me, by Sunderland, nil nil yesterday. So
Yeah,
there you
exactly.
go. It's
So,
just so prolific.
yeah, if you're looking for indicators of what's to come, it's pretty bad for them too. They actually have not had the greatest last few matches. They've been pretty quiet after that run of 8 wins in a row.
Yeah, they'd won 8 in a row, and then they got held to a couple draws, and then kind of a fixture buildup at the end of the season for them. So maybe that helps Villa.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're looking forward to that. But against Southampton, I know you were driving cross country and didn't get to see as much of it as you would like, but it was the high line that doomed us, and it sort of brought back memories of those matches against Arsenal earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it. I was at 4:45 in the morning in Vegas. I think I had doomed us by betting on us, but yeah, that high line. I think even though Okora is really fast and Vlahar has shown great pace at times this season, and I mean it's like Bakuna's got good speed. It doesn't mean that you can play a high line even if your defenders are pacey.
Yeah,
Still, you
absolutely.
still have to know what you're doing, and it helps to have a sweeper keeper. And I mean, neither Given nor Guzan really are.
No, we don't have a Neuer on our team. It was one of those things. I think the biggest disappointment was not the loss, but was the fact that once again we saw Tim Sherwood come out with an idea and seemingly be pretty incapable of adjusting mid-match. He came out with that high line and maybe there's not much you can do when you give up 3 goals in 2 minutes and 56 seconds. But after that, once everything starts to resettle again, you can stop playing that high line. And he never did.
Yeah, it's not like you can just say, "Oh, okay, like we need a timeout. Like I'm gonna
Yeah,
go talk to lads out in the field." Like,
exactly. I mean, maybe this is a match Villa lose 3-1 or something like that.
yeah, keep it respectable though, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't have the chance to adjust in a 3 minute stretch. Maybe he tells them something. Although, really, how hard is it to say, push back, lads. Stay
Stop
deep.
doing that.
Yeah. Remember that thing I told you? Let's not do that. I was wrong.
Yeah, and I mean you've got to have your backup tactic ready, and you should be able to just shout that out, and it should be able to switch. You should be
Yeah.
able to switch like that.
Yeah. That was the single biggest disappointment. Yeah, it was a crappy match. Everyone played like junk. It was the rare confluence of everyone on the pitch playing one of their worst matches of the season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean it's unlucky, but sometimes that does happen.
You had been mentioning in the build-up to you and I getting ready to record today that maybe that spells the end of Shea Given Premier League keeper.
Yeah, maybe. Just because after giving up six goals, even though they weren't all his fault or not even close to being his fault, maybe you just change him, because that is a big confidence hit, just like when Guzan, I mean, worst mistake of his career against Manchester City. It just happened. It was random. Never did it before. He'll never do something like that again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just give it a change. My only worry with changing at this point, because I still do think Guzan is the better keeper, and I still think
definitely
he's the better option. But I'm pretty convinced that Sherwood is going to go with Given in the FA Cup final. So do you bench Given right before the single biggest match of the year?
If you're going to go with him in the cup final, no. You've got to get him back in some better form and get some confidence against Burnley, who just haven't been able to score at all lately.
Yeah, and if Given gets nuked by Burnley, then you realize that, okay, we're going with Guzan at Wembley.
Exactly. So I think, I mean, bad situation for Guzan, but just because of what happened last time Villa went to Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
But, or for a cup final, I mean, I guess we've been to Wembley and beat Liverpool, but... Yeah, I do feel a little bad for Brad.
Yeah, so I think this is a situation where, because of the FA Cup final coming up and because of the supposition that it's going to be Given starting, I think you start Given against Burnley on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, start whoever you're going to start in the cup. And I mean, Burnley come on, but three in the first half. Make a goalkeeper change at halftime.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, get Guzan half to play. And I think this is one of the things where if Given looks like junk, then you do go with Guzan in the final.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I agree.
You say, thanks, Shea, you got us here, but you look like crap right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're acting your age, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not convinced that he will look like crap, and I'm not convinced that he is a bad choice.
And maybe Burnley's not the best match to even find out, but yeah, I'm not convinced either. And you know, like we saw in the cup, maybe Given has done better with this backline because he organizes them better. Because Guzan's a really vocal guy. You see it, and he has pretty good aerial command, which is what led Given to giving up that goal against Everton late. But I don't know. They both have their positives and negatives.
Yeah. Aston Villa Review, I think it was, not this week because they didn't pod, but last week, we're talking about the fact that it's really interesting that we've got two keepers who are actually pretty decent, and neither of them, all of their weaknesses are the other one's strengths.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that it's like that.
Like, they don't complement each other at all. It's, here's one, here's the other, take what you like, you know, choose what three things you like, and that will tell you which keeper you get.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's something you look at depending on what team you're playing, putting that guy into the lineup, you know? Like, say you're playing Stoke, maybe you definitely want Guzan in there.
Yeah, as sort of that bruiser role.
Yeah. Someone could come out and punch it and collect those crosses near the top of the 18, because Given definitely doesn't have as much mobility.
Yeah, absolutely. I also sort of tend to think that, you know, well, Given has a year left on his contract. We're seeing the last days of Shea Given.
I think so. And he had been in that coaching role a bit before. I would definitely like to see him go back to that. Maybe not a Sherwood's assistant, maybe a Sherwood's assistant.
Yeah, absolutely. Something along those lines would be good for him. Maybe as a trade somewhere. I hear Manchester United's going to be looking for a keeper this summer.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to want Victor Valdez.
Yeah. Then again, I don't think Shea Given is the answer either.
Yeah, back to Manchester, but on the other side. I mean, Son Given, Villa's paying Shea Given quite a lot of money and used him a bit at the beginning of his contract, not so much in the recent, or I mean, now using him again, but just a little before weren't really using him. But I don't think you can say they didn't get their money's worth with him, even though he was pretty expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. I still think he's, and you know, he's a capable backup at this point. He doesn't panic me to see him in a match.
No, it's not like Andy Marshall has to come in or something, you know.
And of course, we still have Jed Steer out there somewhere.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and Ben Segrist just got injured, which is bad news, but
yeah, poor guy broke his leg.
What, he's still 23, I think.
Yeah, but I think he's out of contract at this summer. Yeah, so the poor guy broke his leg just as he's running out of contract.
Yeah, that's terrible luck.
That's sort of the thing where you kind of hope that Villa, you know, do something nice there.
You've seen Villa do that in the past, though. Like, look at Delph and Downing.
Stick with a player through injury.
And especially someone who's in the youth academy and isn't going to be massively expensive.
Exactly. So I think that's the kind of player that, you know, if Villa were thinking of holding on to him, now they definitely do, and just do it super cheap.
Yeah, so there's something random that totally wasn't on the agenda, address the Ben Segrist situation, but...
Yeah, just like we wrote this up, right?
Yeah, but, yeah, I guess... Sorry, I think it cut you off a little bit on the Southampton talk earlier. You have any final thoughts on the match?
It was junk. I'm done with it. It's in the past. It, you know, there's not much to learn there. Everyone had a terrible day.
Benteke still got us some fantasy points.
Yeah, absolutely. And the chances of everyone totally having a crap day like that all at the same time again are pretty slim. You saw in RJ's player ratings, no one got above a 4, and it was hard to argue with that.
Yeah, exactly. At first I was like, oh, wow, this is harsh. But then if you think about it, not really.
No, it was pretty fitting. That struck me as really fair. So yeah, it's in the past. We're done with that. A few hours later, it didn't matter anyway because Tottenham beat Hull for us.
Yeah, even though our goal difference is terrible now, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and thanks to the London clubs for doing work. We had Arsenal beating Hull and Tottenham beating Hull.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it. The two clubs that hate each other most. Uniting in one cause to help Aston Villa.
To sink Steve Bruce. Maybe they will go down alongside with Burnley and QPR, who we already knew were going down. But Hull still 34 points, Newcastle 36 points. It's going to come down to the final day.
Yeah, and the thing is, because of the way Newcastle have, you know, hurt their goal differential, if Hull win, Newcastle have to win. They can't just draw to save
exactly. themselves. Exactly. That's what I think makes it actually really interesting, is that a really distinct possibility that Newcastle have just been in a serious rut. I mean, they've had a bad day at the office. What, 2 months in a row?
Yeah.
More?
Yeah, absolutely. Their only real hope here is, because, you know, I think despite what the bookies give odds for Newcastle, which is overwhelmingly that Newcastle are going to win, which I find really strange given recent form. But despite those odds, I think they're going to be okay, mostly because Hull must win against Manchester United.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe Steve Bruce got the insider info on his old club, Manchester United, hopefully, because I think that it's just a historic collapse if Newcastle going down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it couldn't happen to a better person than John Carver to go down.
I'm the best manager in the Premier League.
He's such a blowhard.
And especially after, I mean, because Newcastle fans, I think they hate Villa because of what happened, 2009 when they went down. Mm-hmm. And they're all rooting for Villa to go down this year, and I mean, I think now some Villa fans are rooting for them to go down because
Carver. John Carver was licking his lips at the idea of Aston Villa dropping.
Yeah, and now I mean, I did both Newcastle and Sunderland in relegation poaching this week. Sunderland, they've secured their safety, but Newcastle, they have the best players of anyone that's been in that series.
Who would you take?
Undoubtedly, I would take Ayoze Perez.
Mm-hmm.
First, I don't think we'd get Moussa Sissoko, but I would take him. Both their fullbacks are pretty good. Janmaat at right back, Daryl Janmaat, is really good. At left back, they have that Welsh kid. I don't know. I just forgot what it is. Tim Krul in goal, pretty good. I think, I mean, Papa Cisse is a bit old. He's like 29 or 30. But and he has his problems with suspension, which is one reason I wouldn't want him, because I mean, Villa already have the tendency to get red cards, at least they did this season.
Yeah, Absolutely. I think you're right, though. If there's any team that you actually look at, if they drop and say, who can we steal? It's Newcastle.
Oh, and even more importantly, Remy Cabella the most. Yeah, Paul Dummett is the left back. He's 23 and maybe not the best left back, but if you were to get him on the cheap and just to steal someone from Newcastle.
No, just for the sheer joy of stealing someone from Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think Ayoze Perez and Remy Cabella are the two players I'd want.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that.
So your rooting interests for this week, pulling for West Ham.
Yeah,
to take out Newcastle.
Just to keep things interesting.
Or to hold them, but most importantly, hold to beat Manchester United.
Yeah, it's true. It's really strange to me that the only way we care is if Newcastle don't win, and if Hull win.
Yeah. Right?
So if it looks like Hull, if it looks like Newcastle are drawing or losing, that could keep things interesting. If it looks like Hull are winning, that could keep things interesting. If Hull are down 2-0, who cares? It's done.
But that's the beauty of the final day and playing all the matches at once.
It should be a lot of fun. I do love NBC billing this as Championship Sunday.
Yeah, I thought it used to be Survival Sunday, I thought, but I don't know, maybe this, since there's not everyone in the relegation race, I guess, like we've seen in years past. And
yeah, but it cracks me up because, the championship that was wrapped up 2 weeks ago.
Maybe they're talking about who's going to go to the championship.
I hadn't thought of that. That makes much more sense.
The thing is, at least Manchester 3 points behind Arsenal, and 7 goals behind Arsenal. I mean, they don't really have a lot to play for.
No, yeah, there's nothing.
There's seven
there.
Points out of Liverpool. They can't slip.
And thanks to the draw, Manchester City wrapped up second place.
Yeah.
Wrapped up second place. Goal differential wise, Arsenal wrapped up third place. I mean, something fluky could happen, but it would require a 7-goal swing between Arsenal and United.
Yeah, and Arsenal have West Brom.
Yeah, who did just take out Chelsea 3-0.
True.
In one of the strange
Chelsea, also nothing to play for.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, I guess
it might be a time where I'm rooting for West Brom. Just demoralize Arsenal. Take them out.
No, because then Arsenal would be due for a win.
That's true.
And I mean, Arsenal or West Brom need to go for the Hutnator technique and just injure everyone.
if anyone's team could do it, it would be Tony Pulis's team. It is really depressing to think that Villa could still finish 17th.
That's true, but also I was just looking at it. If we win and Leicester and Sunderland both don't win, we can move up to 14th.
Yeah, which is
and
nice.
that would be huge from a money standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be.
That's like another player.
Yeah. The nicest thing from the money standpoint, though, is the fact that we're actually in the league, which means we'll be there when the new deals start to kick in.
Exactly, and I mean that's huge. That even though Lambert, what he did was bad lately, he did save us a lot of money. So I'm still thankful to him for that. But I think you had a stat on Lambert versus Sherwood.
I was intrigued because the Southampton match did sort of expose some of Sherwood's problems. I don't think there's any denying the fact that he absolutely, unquestionably saved this club. And I was intrigued because you said, was that his sixth win? Look, and in the league, it was his fifth win. His fifth win in 12 matches, as opposed to Lambert, who had 5 wins in 25 matches. So Sherwood is winning at twice the rate.
He had 5 wins.
Yeah, Sherwood is winning at twice the rate of Paul Lambert, which is sort of incredible if you think about that.
Yeah, I think incredible is an understatement, really, because, yeah, we saw Sherwood come in. He said, all right, I need 6 wins to save the club, and he wasn't far off. But I was worried that he meant 6 wins in the cup and in the league, and I was like, oh, have we used up all our wins that we're going to get? Because FA Cup final is really – that would be – even more than the icing on the cake, I think,
just for
staying up this year.
This isn't even fair, but if you just take Sherwood's wins and assume that everything else was losses, which they weren't, but let's just play that route. If you do that, he's on pace for a 47-point season.
Wow. So, yeah, what, 19?
Yeah, I mean, if a 47-point season would get us possibly into the upper half. And the fact that I'm not counting draws in there means that, it, you know, the pace that Sherwood has set right now would definitely have seen Villa into the top 10 this year.
Sherwood is like the reverse Sunderland. Like, Sunderland, they have 17 draws this season, 7 wins,
mm-hmm.
13 losses. I think next year what we could see with Sherwood is, I don't know, like seven draws or something. I mean, depending, could change. Depends on what he has to work with.
Mm-hmm.
What he brings in, and I don't know what he decides. But we could be one of those teams that we win a lot of games, but we lose a lot of ones that we could have drawn. But then again, maybe you change some of those draws to wins as well. So
yeah, absolutely. So it was 12 matches with 5 draw or 5 wins and 1 draw. So not substantially different, but it's 16 points in 12 matches.
That's a good return.
That's on pace for a 51-point season.
Yeah.
That's top 10 finish right there.
So what, 16 wins and 3 draws? That's how you get to 51?
Yeah, since he's on a 1.33 point per game.
16 wins, 3 draws, and 19 losses. That's what we'll have next year, calling it.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's really interesting. He's proven that this team has the talent as it stands to be a top 10 club. And those wins were not against slack opposition. I mean, those wins came against the likes of Tottenham and whatnot, and good matches against Manchester City.
Yeah, good performances, and like Liverpool in the Cup, that was a great performance.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And
I mean, even beating West Ham 1-0, that's a good result, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the kind of thing you need. So, you know, with Sherwood around, I actually wonder if this could be a top 10 club. But the big question is, like you said, what does he do in the summer?
Yeah, and I think a big selling point for Christian Benteke, who's been all over the news lately and all over our Twitter questions, which we're going to get to in a second, is will he stay? I don't know. Personally, I think he's going to stay. But some of that could depend on if Villa get to Europe, get to the Europa League, win the FA Cup. And, I mean, that's a big selling point.
Yeah. I also like the way Tim Sherwood's been talking, which is, you know, we'll sell if we get the right price, but no one can afford him.
Yeah, and personally, I still think 50 million is the right price.
Yeah.
But and I wrote back in January, February, something about how selling Benteke is what the club needs to do. But then again, that's before we just want to tear and save us again.
Yeah.
So,
and the interesting thing is, maybe 50 million is a little high, but I almost agree with you on 50 million. Is Benteke worth 50 million? No. But when
could you get 50 million from another English club?
Maybe. I don't know. Since he's not English, it may bring him down a little bit. But I think it's still the right price, because the right price doesn't mean what he's worth. It means what's the right price for Aston Villa to sell him at.
Yeah, was Gareth Bale worth all that money?
No. If someone comes in and offers 50 million, that's the point at which you go, sure, okay. Because you can pay 20 million for another striker that'll replace Benteke, and then you've got 30 million left to bank and build on.
Exactly. And it was like a tweet from Aaron I saw a while ago, and it was like, eventually someone's going to accept my 50 million counteroffer for Benteke, and then I'm going to be totally effed, like in FIFA. And like, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Of course, that's what happened to me before. And I mean, it's hilarious, but it's true.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, I don't think they'll be screwed, because not necessarily replace him, but you could get another striker. And if you can go out and spend 15 or 20 million on a striker, you're going to get someone good.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you mentioned the Twitter questions, and it's really interesting. All the 3 of the first 4 that we got were all about Benteke. Where will he play next season? What will he do to celebrate his hat trick against Arsenal? Haha. And what alternatives are there for Sherwood to convince Benteke to stay? To convince him to stay, I think the easiest alternative is, look at how you played under me, lad.
I think another one is also, we're going to bring in other quality players into the squad, and we're going to get to Europe next year. And if not, okay, thank you. You've been great service to the team. Hopefully someone outside of England, but if not, well, you deserved it, and we're going to cash in.
Yeah, absolutely. Or take a look at us in January. If we're not doing well,
exactly, we'll exactly. That's, and I think that's fair.
Yeah. I've been really surprised at everyone just instantly flipping from, because for about a month there, it felt like we all sort of seemed safe that Benteke would stick around for next season.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, next season, I think it's make or break. Like,
now the narrative is flipped and everyone just sort of assumes Benteke's leaving if we don't win the FA Cup. And I'm not sure I totally buy that.
I'm not sure either.
They seem like sort of false questions to me. Assuming you do sell them, though, use that money for a Charlie Austin type or something along those lines.
Exactly, and we just had an article up on the site this week about me targeting Charlie Austin, and I think QPR would probably accept $15 million for him, seeing as they're going down. And Charlie Austin, he's really a player who I would like to see in a Villa shirt. He's a good size, 6'2", can score with his head, score with his feet. He seems to get in the right place at the right time, like when he scored against us.
Yeah, they're going down, and they have massive fines to pay.
Exactly. They need to soften the blow. So they'll be looking for some money, but Charlie Austin's not going to go to a Champions League team.
I mean, did you see that article that there was consideration that the Championship wouldn't allow QPR to play?
Oh, my God, that would be amazing.
Like, and it turned out the Championship said, no, we'll take them. But even the simple fact that that was considered.
Exactly.
Like, good God, you guys are screwed.
I mean, QPR have some other players who I'd like as well. I think Leroy Fair, I know I won him last year from Norwich, but
yeah,
him in the field. I wonder if he'd go back to Norwich. Well, I guess they're not going to go up.
Yeah, I guess my problem with Leroy Fair at this point is two teams in a row that he's been a relegation player on.
Yeah, but really, really, I don't think Villa are going to be in the relegation picture at all next year. Finger on wood, but
yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's the albatross around those teams next.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's two teams in a row that had him in common.
Yeah.
I don't think we play with that fire or that fair. Ha.
I don't think correlation implies causation, but
no, it certainly doesn't. But
and I guess that leads us to our next question from Mark Bannister at 1874 FC. No Holt Kess last week. Do you feel personally responsible for the 6-1 hammering? If not, why not? I said I did feel responsible just because I bet on Villa, but not because we don't best.
Yeah, I think it's more the betting on Villa.
Yeah,
which is the point.
Which that we're fucked because I put a bet on the FA Cup and I put one on for you, Robert.
Yeah, you were in Vegas and you told me you bet on the cup and I said, oh well, hell, if you're there, will you bet for me? And you graciously obliged. So Jack and I are looking to use our winnings, one Villa win in 90, correct?
Yeah, in 90, and I also have I also got Barca to win the Champions League final with it. God. So. It's like 10-1. I was like, Vegas has shit odds. Never bet on sports in America because all the bookies are terrible.
Yeah, the odds were pretty
rough. Also, side note, if anyone can set me up like a bet365 account or something, I'll give you like $20. I need a foreign address.
He's
I'll
just
pay you the money.
Joking, federal agents. There's he does not mean that. He's joking. Don't come raiding Jack's house. God, it's so dumb that we can't bet on sports here.
No, but we have FanDuel where you can do a one-day fantasy league. So just do a coin flip for $50 when you can. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We could have a podcast about that for days. But anyways, other transfer business for this summer, we signed Scott Sinclair permanently, which I was really happy about. I mean, started off a lot better. His Villa career started off a lot better, but he's still been a pretty useful player, and I mean, I think Charles Nzogbia's Villa career, while it's been revived, I think that's going to be short-lived.
Yeah.
And especially with Jack Grealish, the emergence of him.
The thing that was really surprising to me was that signing Scott Sinclair was not a choice, but rather an obligation.
Really?
I didn't know that it had been written into his contract, that it was if Villa survived, they must purchase Sinclair.
Oh, okay, so, well, he didn't do it himself, but he did score some important goals in the cup.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, I have no problem with him. I think maybe 2.5 is a little high for him, but, I, you know.
Oh, it's that survival money.
Yeah, exactly. And I would have paid 2 for him. So, really, I'm quibbling over $500,000 here, which is not worth quibbling over.
Yeah, come on, Robert. Just pay the $500,000. You got it. Like,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Look in the couch learner. Like.
It's so funny what football does to our sense of economics. Like, to normal human beings, we're like, holy shit, £500,000? And to a football club, it's like, yeah, just fork it over. Whatever, it's $500,000. It's sort of bizarre to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got that transfer business. You know, there's the question of Tom Cleverley. Everything he said seems to make it look like he's happy to stay. Tim Sherwood wants him here.
Exactly. He's
sign playing for us or I won't play you in the FA Cup final.
Yeah, that'd be quite the ultimatum. I mean, I'm not sure if we could do that. I think we still need him either way. But, I mean, yeah, some speculation. What, Paul Scholes said Everton? Like, piss off. Come on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
One, I'm not sure if you'd get into Everton's team because even though they've had a down year, they still have some great players. And, I mean, he wouldn't be guaranteed starting, but I think he'd be a squad rotation player. But, yeah, I mean, he's playing so well under Lambert. Why would you change it up?
Yeah, absolutely. And with the knowledge that he's playing right next to a guy who seems to be a pretty regular England midfielder now, Fabian Delph, you know, why not add incentive for England to choose Cleverley, right? Oh, if
we get
a pair that know how to work together.
Yeah, look at how, I don't know, it's stupid to compare England to Spain, but Spain with all the Barca players, that was a total reason for their success. Germany a bit with the Bayern players, they had quite a few of them, but I mean, I think it's I don't know, you play Ultimate Team, you have the chemistry of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I think Cleverley sticks around, and I think it's good business, and we can sweeten the wage pot a little for the fact that we're not having to pay a fee for him.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, and of course we've talked about him a million times, but we didn't want him signed permanently in January just because that fee was expensive. He wasn't playing amazingly, and thirdly, he was going to be free in the summer.
Yeah, and in January, if you would ask me, do you sign Tom Cleverley? The answer is no, unequivocally no.
Even if we swapped up for Vlaar, who we wanted to dump off and left Manchester United when he was on the training table for 2 years consecutively.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, so I think he's our other business. Other than that, a left back needs to come in.
Left back, definitely. I think that can be agreed upon. And I don't know, is there someone out there that has one good left back that they'll trade for 4 average ones? Because, well, we have Joe Bennett, Antonio Luna. Kieran Richardson and Ali Sissoko.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we could pry. I still wish we would have gotten Aaron Cresswell.
Cresswell, yeah, he was. I think at the top of my list last summer. I mean, Bertrand would have been amazing. He had a great season.
Clearly for unhappy here. That
eh. I mean, he won a Champions League medal. I think. I mean, kind of deserves to at least be playing in Europe again, like with Southampton, but
yeah. Cresswell, I think, is the big missed opportunity. I think if there's any way you can get him off of West Ham, you do it.
I think West Ham could lose some players because if Big Sam, his contract's out, if he leaves, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
It could be, who knows who they appoint, what their goal is. Maybe next season they'll just try to scrape by and survive.
Did you see the rumors of Rafa coming to West Ham?
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Like legitimate rumors, not just some bullshit minute. Like, I can't even begin to comprehend the idea of Rafa Benitez at West Ham.
Yeah, it would be amazing. I think Aston Villa Review, I think they would start watching West Ham. because everyone would be watching West Ham, honestly.
I don't know why he would. I mean, there's been that rumor for years that he wants to get back to the Premier League.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right club to do it. I mean, maybe he'll make more money than he does at Napoli, but that's because it'll...
Just hold your breath. Louis Van Gaal is you know, a bad month away from being sacked.
Yeah, seriously. And
I mean...
Maybe being replaced by Pep, but...
Yeah, no, no kidding. I don't know. I think we need a left back. I don't know who. I would love to see Creswell. I don't think that happens. I really like Creswell. I don't know why. He's one of my favorite players in Football Manager.
Puts in a lot of crosses.
Yeah, I always try to go in for him in Football Manager, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the last thing I had on the agenda was Carlos Heel, who, according to our Slack conversations between 7,500 whole writers, no one thinks he's staying.
No, I don't think so, which is a shame.
Which is, yeah, massively disappointed, but...
I was thinking of it the other day. I think he is going to be Tim Sherwood's Jean McCune.
Oh, my God. Why do you have to mention that?
But tell me there's not some similarity.
Yeah, really. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wish you would have had Jean McCune. I think he's a really great player. I always used him in FIFA, but... And really, I know I don't think Kirsten watches or listens to this, but Michael Bradley as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, I mean, he's obviously massively overrated because he's like America's second best player, I guess. But third, I guess, if you count Tim Howard is America's number one player ever. But I don't know.
I think Hill's gone, which is a shame.
But I think we'll be able to get back however much we paid for him.
I don't think we're going to end up losing anything or very little if we do. Yeah. So it was an experiment that was nice. I think we'll look back and regret the fact that we don't use him more or didn't use him more, but I'm pretty sure he's gone.
Yeah, he got me like 500,000 loops on Vine, so I was like, okay.
Did he really?
Yeah, and then before they took the Vine down, that was such a great goal.
It was your greatest social media moment ever.
It was. I had like 400 retweets. So I was like, wow.
Nicely done. wow. I didn't realize he was good for that much.
I think I was just the first person to put the goal Vine out.
He looked so lovable. I liked him so much.
He did. Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think I would really like to see him and Grealish play. I hope he at least gets a chance in preseason training and
wows the crap out of Sherwood.
Yeah, because I don't know. I won't play him because he's a Lambert signing or, you know, whatever. Like, swallow your pride, Timmy, like, for once.
Yeah. It was a little bit weird, you know. He complained about the fact, or there were rumors. I don't know if it actually was an official quote. But he complained about the fact that Bent was loaned out and he really could have used Bent. And then when Bent was eligible.
Darren Benty.
Yeah, Darren Benty. Now that Bent was eligible again, he told him, "Nah, piss off. We don't need you."
Yeah. But at the time when he would have came back, you don't want to mess up the chemistry. We're rolling. Yeah. Before Bentek is not doing anything.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm glad Darren Bent era is over, even though I have his signature on a Darren Bent Villa kit, but.
It's fine. You can wear that with pride. He saved us one year.
It's a nice shirt. It's the white checkerboard one, the away from...
I like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, I think Burnley this weekend, glorified friendly.
Yeah, glorified friendly. Burnley are down, Villa are up, which is a relief because going into it, looking at it a couple months ago, even a month ago, oh shit, this one could really decide the fate for both of these clubs.
Yeah.
Both the Clarets and the Claret and Blues.
Yeah, absolutely. It was looking sort of horrifying. But it's a glorified friendly. I hope we get to see some youth players. A little part of me really wants to see Russian Hepburn Murphy again.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I kind of adore that kid. Maybe this is the game where Grealish gets his goal finally.
Although it might as well wait another week just because it would be a bit of an anticlimax in this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you would get more confidence. So.
Although then again, think of what the atmosphere is going to be like. We're safe after a crap season. Everyone's going to be singing about going to Wembley.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't run on the pitch.
The fans are going to, you know, love the lap of honor at the end of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was thinking of writing this sometime before the FA Cup final because I don't want people to think, you know, if Villa win, that's the only reason I'm writing. This is the most enjoyable and likable Villa team that we've had in a while.
I think so.
This and this bunch under Sherwood.
Yeah.
Once Sherwood came, he came and just, and it may be just, you know, confirmation bias or the fact that it's really recent, but he flipped the attitude. I love this team right now.
Yeah, it was such a like a poisonous feeling around Villa Park.
Yeah,
late days of Lambert.
Yeah, this may not be the best team for a while, but just because of the fact that it feels like a breath of fresh air, and because they got to Wembley, and you know did so in such fun fashion, it's the most enjoyable Villa team in ages. I think the atmosphere is going to be crazy on Sunday for a meaningless match.
There's definitely an argument that it's the best team at least since 2009, 2010, 2011 when they finished 10th, but
yeah. Could be.
And, I mean, next they'll really have the chance to prove it next year, I guess.
Yeah, the best team, the best Villa team of this decade.
The best Villa team that I've been a Villa fan for.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But they're enjoyable. They're fun to watch. I think the atmosphere is going to be incredible because the fans really got behind Tim Sherwood.
Definitely.
And they really got behind the team, and the team really got behind him.
Yeah, so. which was important. If the team doesn't buy into the new man, oh, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Sunday should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's nice that it doesn't mean anything. It's nice that if we want to, we can rest some players, maybe give them
a day off. That was kind of the question. Do you want to rest the players? Because, I mean, an injury to Benteke would be devastating.
Yeah.
Grealish, Delph, Okora, or Vlahar, because we don't have any other freaking center backs.
Nathan Baker was back training last week.
Yeah, so
he's good.
Yeah,
for
I saw he still might miss out. I mean, maybe he'll make the bench for the cup final, but
yeah, and he's good for 5 minutes until he re-injures himself.
Yes, but okay. I mean, I guess that's really the only question. But yeah, it's all the games at that time on Sunday, and then next week we'll have FA Cup show. So talking about that recap of the season and a little bit, and then FA Cup.
Yeah, just as a preview, look ahead to next week because we are going to have wall-to-wall coverage, and we're going to be doing it in coordination with the Short Fuse, SB Nation's Arsenal blog.
Yeah, so big FA Cup blowout. So
yeah, we're going to do all sorts of stuff next week. We've got some awesome graphic stuff coming from Bennett. We've got some great graphic stuff coming from Alvin too. I'm really looking forward to next week in the FA Cup. I think we're going to do some amazing coverage next week.
Definitely, and even though this weekend's match isn't as big, we'll still have all the coverage for you at 7500hold.com, so be sure. If you probably already liked us on Facebook, because Facebook's been blowing up lately, and follow us on Twitter for sure, but yeah, keep checking the site. We'll have the match previews for you, as well as live coverage during the match. So for Robert Lintott, I've been Jack Grimsey. Thanks for listening to the